Today on Real Radio.
When Jesus says a greater than Jonah is here, people, what was he meaning? Jot these verses down. I will go quick, but the next time somebody knocks on your door or pedals up to your house and tries to get you to hear of or receive a different Jesus, know this, that a greater, Jesus said, a greater than Jonah is here. He was referring to himself.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament account of Jonah. He is sometimes referred to as the runaway prophet, and for obvious reasons. He tried to run away from God's divine plan. Well, of course, as many of us know, unbeknownst to this fish food of an individual, Jonah was fulfilling the purposes of the Almighty all along, as we'll see in this study called Living in the Will of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Think how many of us can confess that when Jesus Christ came into our lives, the storm ceased. I thought about this and putting this message together. In my life, I tell you, I wound up breaking out into thanksgiving to God. I began to stop and think, now, God, how does this apply to my life? And the Lord laid on my heart, Jack, you had storms in your life. And then you came to me. Those storms led you to me. There's been storms since you've come to me, but I've been with you the whole time. Can you not confess, Jack, that there is, even in the midst of these current day storms, that there is a calm that passes all explanation? I have to give up and say yes. People, I got to tell you, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir right now. You already know what I'm talking about. But do we not have an amazing calm in the midst of life's storms? Because we trust him. It's not because our trust is so great. It's because he's worthy of our trust because he is so great. Just have enough faith, Jack. Faith. Just have enough faith. If you have enough faith, where's that in the Bible? If you just have enough faith, it's all going to be... Wait a minute. I put my little faith in a great big God. He's the one. It's the focus of my faith, not the magnitude of my faith. The man cries out to Jesus, out to God, and says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinful man. The man cries out to God and says, I believe, help my, what? Unbelief. Can you imagine God saying, too bad, you almost tipped the scale. I mean, you almost hit it and went ding, but you didn't. You don't have enough faith, sorry, I'm not going to talk to you. It's not like that. Remember when you cried out to Jesus the first time in your life, how he responded? Reasons for the storm, reactions to the storm, finally verses 16 to 17, and that is results of the storm. This is beautiful. Let this be an encouragement to us in our own lives. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. By the way, that word feared means that they were in reverential awe. It doesn't mean that they started biting their fingernails. The men were in reverential awe of the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the sea 3 days and three nights. Well, conversion leads to this, worship, acts of worship. This is beautiful, and we know that their conversion is true because of what follows. Listen, conversion. People, listen. If we have truly come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will what? Worship. People who do not worship God, I can only conclude, either don't know much of him or don't know him. But when you know him, you got to worship him. Do you know him like that? Do you worship him? First thing is that they feared the Lord. This is a word that is used for those who are converted to God. They were in reverential awe. Wow. They're probably sitting or standing in that boat with big smiles on their face. And the captain says, go get one of those little goats that are down in the hull that we're shipping to Spain. Because it says here that they made an offering. It's an animal offering. It's a sacrificial offering. No doubt they had heard of the God of the Hebrews, and he required innocent blood to atone for sin. Well, the third step is this. It's an act of invitation. They made vows. They made vows. That means they enacted promises. They swore an oath to God. They stood on the deck of that ship and they made a commitment to Christ. They dedicated or presented themselves to God. And how's that done today toward God? What is the New Testament connection to verse 16? It's 1 John 5:11-13. You might want to jot that down in your margin. 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son, has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I've written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. They were converted to him. And then we see the will of God, verse 17. The will of God enacted, the act of God's will. It says Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I want to show you something. You might say, well, I don't believe it. Well, look at this graphic that we got here from Popular Science. This is not a joke. Maybe you have this edition at home. What's new? This is an actual scientific and naval military test that's going on with the U.S. military. That's the drawing of a mechanical fish, of a submarine. Flexible sub swims like the fishes. Isn't that funny? They're going to put people in there. So what's new? That's nothing new. Jonah was in a fish. But I find it interesting that the Navy, they've now figured out we need to make a submarine that's not detected. And so we need, and I read that article, we need to make a submarine that swims like a fish, and they're working on that. They've got big models that they've been doing this out in the sea practicing with. Can you imagine seeing this thing swim by you? Jonah, it says here that God had appointed, ordained. God had a fish big enough to swallow him up. It's happened in history in the past to people, and they've lived. In the late 1800s, there's an account of a man actually being swallowed by a whale and lived. Now, this is not necessarily a whale. The word is a great fish, not a whale. But what's interesting about this is, I personally believe, as it says here, that Jonah was swallowed by this great fish, and that he was in that belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights? I think that there's more to it than what meets the eye. Write this down, and maybe I can get you to consider something. Luke 11:29. And while the crowds were thick, gathering together to hear Jesus, he began to say this to them. This is an evil generation. It seeks after a miracle or a sign, and no sign or miracle will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation, that is the Jewish people. Matthew 12:38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered and said to Jesus, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you, a miracle. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12:41 goes on to say, The men of Nineveh, Jesus's, will rise up in judgment against this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And yet a greater than Jonah is here. I do not believe that when Jonah was swallowed by the fish, This is my personal conviction. I do not believe that Jonah was kept alive in the belly of the fish. I believe that Jonah died in the belly of that fish, and I believe that God revived him after 3 days. That's why I believe Jesus cites Jonah as a type of who he is. I am not saying that God performed the miracle of keeping Jonah alive. I think God performed the miracle of a great fish swallowing Jonah. But I believe that Jonah died inside that fish and God resurrected Jonah. It's nothing for God to do that. And I believe before that fish vomited Jonah up on the shore, that we hear, in fact, we'll hear it next week, Jonah's great cry to God. I think he was revived or resurrected by God. And then you have chapter 2, his cry of deliverance from Sheol, from the grave. We'll look at that next week. But listen, I am confronted now. I have 5 seconds left and I'm not even near done. I'm going to ask you to take your pen. This is extremely important. I will go as fast as I can. This is the whole point. When Jesus says a greater than Jonah is here, people, what was he meaning? Jot these verses down. I will go quick, but the next time somebody knocks on your door or pedals up to your house and tries to get you to hear of or receive a different Jesus, know this, that a greater, Jesus said, a greater than Jonah is here. He was referring to himself. That the Bible teaches clearly that there's one Savior, there's one God, there's one Redeemer, there's one Messiah for all of mankind. And what I'm going to conclude with will determine, honestly, how you decide, and that decision will determine where you spend eternity for the rest of your life. That's why I cannot let time shortchange this. It is this. Listen carefully. Isaiah 48:12. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last. That is Jehovah God of the Bible. When the mariners called out to the Lord, your Bible has it capital L-O-R-D. Jehovah, or we would say Jehovah, but there's none of that in Hebrew. It's Jehovah, Yahweh, the Savior God. There's only one, the Bible says, first and the last. Isaiah 41, verse 4. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, Jehovah. I am first and I am with the last. I am he. Next verse, Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. There's only one Redeemer. Revelation 4:8. And the four living creatures, having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Revelation 1:11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Am I boring you guys? This is critically, eternally important. Revelation 21:6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the Lord. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Who is that? It's the Lord. Revelation 1:17. And when John says he saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. But he laid his right hand upon me and he said to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. That's the Lord. We already read in Isaiah 48:12, there's only one first and last. Well, if you keep reading Revelation 1:17 and you keep going to verse 18, it says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. God died one day. How could that have happened? Revelation 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without debate, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. We are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. What's his name? Jesus Christ, it says. John 8:58. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The eternal name of God he uses. John 8:24. Therefore, I said to them that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Wow, do you believe that Jesus is the I am? If you don't, you're going to die in your sins. Who says, Jesus? Why should I listen? He rose from the dead. Jesus said, if Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be in the earth. But Jonah didn't stay in the great fish, did he? He was, so to speak, resurrected. And on the third day, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. And regardless if you like what he said or not, he's the only one who's been resurrected from the grave. He's the only one who died on the cross for our sins. He loves you. Just as we saw in that film, as he paid the price for those precious children in North Africa. John 10:32. Jesus answered and said to them, many good works I have done. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answered and said to him, for a good work we do not stone you, but because you create or commit blasphemy, because you say, being a man, that you're God. Wow. Titus 2:10. They may adorn, Paul says in Titus 2:10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Who's the Savior? God. But the Bible says Jesus is the Savior. There's only one Savior, says the Scripture. Jude 1:24 and 25. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise. Should I keep going? For the five of you who want me to keep going, I'm going to keep going. I studied, I wrote this, I spent time, I'm going to give it to you and you'll be out of here soon. 1 Timothy 4:10, for this end we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all mankind, especially for those who believe. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. He doesn't share. Hosea 13:4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for besides me there is no Savior. Isaiah 45:21. Tell and bring it forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time, and who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other God but me, a just God and Savior, and besides me there is none other? Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which in Hebrew is God lives among us. Proverbs 30:4. Who has ascended into heaven, or who has descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist, and who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son, if you can tell me? I can tell you. Luke 1:30 says, "Then the angel appeared unto Mary and said, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest.'" Wow. 1 John 5:11. "And this is the testimony that God has given us." I gave it to you a moment ago. "This is eternal life. And his life is in this, and life is in his son. He who has the son has life, and he who does not have the son does not have life." Philippians 2:10. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Philippians 3:20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ." Man, I don't know about you, but this is everything. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the definition of the Savior. John 4:42, "And so the Samaritan said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you've said, for we have heard him with our own ears, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" And they said that right in front of Jesus. He didn't rebuke them. He encouraged them. 1 John 4:14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." 2 Peter 1:11, "For so an entrance shall be supplied for you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It's no wonder then, my friend, why the Bible says in Romans 10:13, our last verse, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And those people on that boat cried out, and God saved them. It's God's will that his message go around the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Living in the Will of God, a study taken from Jonah chapter 1 and verses 11 through 17. It's part of our teacher series on the Old Testament narrative of Jonah, where we can learn some valuable lessons on the consequences of resisting the will of our Maker. Now, we hope that you've been truly benefiting from this verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament account of Jonah. In fact, we're making this 11-CD set available to you for your own personal review and study. Here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you this series, all of which you contribute goes toward the various costs associated with bringing to you this daily program, and it's all tax deductible. Whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, we now have a new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside. you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.